This evening, Bad Rose will give us a talk about a trip to India. But it's not a travel report. It's about a call center. And I think everybody from you knows perhaps or gets these annoying calls where they want to sell you something or they tell you you have won in a prize somewhere where you have never participated in something. And this is an old story. But now we come to the new level. They come and tell us something is wrong with our PC and we need it fixed. But of course, this is not true. It's not Microsoft calling or somebody else. It's a scam. Bad Ross went to India. He figured out what's going on. He tried to get all the knowledge. And together with the Dutch TV program, they found out what happened and handed it over to the police. This story about this trip to India will be told now. So please welcome Bad with a huge round of applause.
Thanks. She already spoiled everything, so now you know what this is all about. So, Operation Bollywood, aka A Trip to India. Well, my name is Bart Roos. I work for Northwave. Northwave is a Dutch IT security company. And every now and then, we like to do fun side projects besides the pen testing and incident response and all the things we do over there. So Operation Bollywood is one of these fun side projects. Other fun side projects are our hackable Lego train and our Automate Club Mate vending machine. So you should come over to the Torvaldsfield, to the new kid on the block, where you can see these other fun projects as well. But back to Operation Bollywood. So this is all about the fake Microsoft call centers you probably heard of. And we try to figure out where these people are and basically how they operate. But first of all, how big of an issue is this anyway? So in 2015, Microsoft released a statement that over 3.3 million people in the US would become victims of this type of scam in the US alone, resulting in $1.5 billion US dollars of damages. And in 2015, Microsoft started an awareness campaign to basically warn people about this kind of scam. But now, almost 2 years later, the Dutch police sent out a warning. This is actually a Dutch news item from 1 month ago, in which they sent out a warning that they saw an increase of this type of scam in this year. So in 2016, they received 1,100 formal complaints from citizens that became victim of this type of scam. And in 2017, so only the first half of 2017, they already got 800 reports. So that's a big increase this year. And these are only the scams that are actually being reported to the police. So you can imagine that a lot of these cases, people don't take the effort to report it to the police. So we at Northwave, we thought, okay, this needs to stop, right? And why not combine a fun project with doing some good for society and catch some scammers? So we wanted to find out where these scammers are operating from, who the victims are, and basically where we can find them. So we came up with a plan. So this is basically a good template for any plan. So step one, scam the scammers. Step two, didn't really know yet. And step three, profit, or in our case, justice, right? But anyway, we came up with a more concrete plan. So this is the actual plan. So the left you see Northwave, on the right you see all the call centers. step one. So we thought, okay, we are going to call some of these scammers. So that would be step one. Step two, go along in the process, make sure we are, being scammed. And what we knew is that they always want you to make some kind of payment somewhere during the process. So we set up for this project, especially a website called Max Bank. So it's a fake banking website we created. So Max, if you turn the letters around, it says scam. So it's our scam bank. And the idea was that we were going to make a payment through this, scam bank, and then in the payment process, ask all kinds of details of the receiver of the payment. So address details, email details, etc. And in the meantime, do some beef stuff, maybe try to do some geolocation to find out where these guys are located. So, and maybe even send an email out to the scammer. Okay, a payment has been made for your account. Come to the Max Bank website to verify your payment and then ask for even more details. To finally be able to, determine their IP address for starters, and then also determine their location. Ending in profit. This maybe, seems like a good plan, but we basically already failed at step one. It turned out that finding phone numbers of these scammers was actually pretty hard. We maybe found a handful of phone numbers, but millions of people are called by these scammers, and most of the numbers we found somewhere on the web, they didn't even work. Then from the numbers that were actually answered by a call center, we got very suspicious reactions. So one of them even asked if we were FBI when we called. So the thing is that they are obviously not used to receive calls. So instead, they mostly call the victims themselves. So it's all about outgoing calls. Our plan A failed. An option would be to wait forever to be called by Microsoft, by fake Microsoft again. Or, we could basically change our plan. So that's what we did. And we teamed up with the journalists from Opgelicht. Opgelicht is the Dutch word for scammed. It's a weekly TV show on the Dutch national television that features all kinds of scams. So not only cybercrime-related cases, but Opgelicht had a series of cybercrime specials. And this TV show actually has 1.5 million viewers every week. So that's a lot for such a small country as the Netherlands. And together with Opgelicht, we asked the viewers to help us out. Let's take a look.
Al vaker was het te zien in Opgelicht, de Microsoft medewerkerstruc.
Deze truc wordt nog steeds veelvuldig gebruikt. En daarom vragen we uw hulp om de mensen erachter te ontmaskeren.
Inderdaad, word je de komende tijd gebeld door iemand die beweert van Microsoft te zijn en de mededeling doet dat je een virus hebt, hang dan niet meteen op. Vraag of ze de dag daarna terug willen bellen en neem daarna direct contact op met ons. Mail naar opgelicht@avrotros.nl. En wie weet help je ons deze oplichters te ontmaskeren.
So we basically teamed up with this journalist to get some of the call center traffic towards us. So we call this plan B, the scammer reflection attack. Basically, step one, the call centers call their victim, a victim that watched the Opgelicht TV show, obviously. Then the victim would ask the call center employee, please call me back tomorrow. In the meantime, the victim would call Opgelicht, and Opgelicht would say to the victim, okay, if they call you back tomorrow, say that they need to call your husband or your brother on this telephone number. And the telephone number they gave was a telephone number of Northwave, of course. So the next day, the call center employee calls back. The victim says, okay, please call back my husband or my brother. And then the call center employee would call Northwave, a number that was under our control. So this actually worked a lot better than we thought. So this turned out to be some kind of denial of service attack. And we've spoken extensively to about 4 or 5 call centers in which we played along with their scam. And this was a very time-consuming process. We noticed that one call with these scammers takes at least 1 hour, maybe even 2 hours, and that's when you say yes immediately to everything they're asking. Let's imagine how long it would take if you would go into discussion with these people. But we said yes to everything, and it still took an hour for these calls to finish. But it did provide us with some nice insights on how these call centers actually operate. Tonight I will take you through the basic process on how these call centers operate. And step one, in all cases that we've seen, is the remote access tool. So the first thing that these scammers are trying to do is make you install some kind of remote access tool. And we've seen various versions. So this is LogMeIn. Another one is TeamViewer. Also saw that one. And some call centers actually created special web pages they redirected us to. Most of the other call centers just directed us to the support tool vendors' website. And I will show you a piece of a screen capture and an audio recording we've made, in this particular case. And, pay attention to the way that the scammer is setting up this connection and, how in the meantime he's explaining all the problems we have with our computer. And, of course, we used a dedicated virtual machine for this attacker to work on. The piece of video I'm going to show you is already 10 to 15 minutes. We're already 10 to 15 minutes on the phone with this guy, and we're already being transferred to a senior technician, as they like to call it. So in most cases, we've seen that, you get a person. If you answer the phone, you get, the first line support person, and if they notice that you're actually falling for this, you get transferred to a senior technician that's going to help you out and fix all your problems. So this is a piece of video from 10 or 15 minutes into the conversation, and we've just installed the tool Supremo. Let's take a look.
Yes, hello. Yes, sir. Thank you for being on hold. This is Sherry Williams, and I'm the senior supervisor out here. How are you doing today, sir? I believe. Okay. And sir, can you just confirm me the ID number of Supremo? 023. Then? Yeah? Okay, 931. And sir, can you just leave the control of the mouse and the keyboard? Because sir, we are directly connecting you with the main server of the Microsoft, okay? And everything will be done automatically by the machine, okay? So you have to just wait, okay? Because sir, whenever you browse to the internet, at that moment of time, some non-secure hidden infection get automatically downloaded in your computer without your knowledge and without your permission. And these non-secure hidden infection making your computer run slower as well as your internet management system, okay? And sir, have you ever noticed that your computer is working slow from last couple of days? Yeah, just because of infection, sir, okay? Just because of infections. And that is why these things are happening in your computer. Because whenever your computer has been downloaded, these types of problems, these are all online hidden infections, okay? Which are making your computer run slower as well as your internet management system. And just because of these kind of files, you are facing problem. And if you think that these are the normal infections, sir, these are not. These are all unwanted, malicious files, which is allowing the other people to get inside in your computer, okay? And just because of these kind of infections, sir, you are facing problems, okay? But no need to worry, sir, because right now you got successfully connected with the main server of Microsoft. And sir, I would like to ask, what language do you understand properly, like English or Dutch?
So I forgot to mention that I only have the recording of one side of the conversation. That was some technical difficulty with recording the Skype audio we used. Doesn't really matter because this guy keeps on talking anyway. Did you notice that the weird way this connection was set up? So we already installed Supremo, which is a remote access tool. And then when they had the control over our computer, they downloaded TeamViewer and started a TeamViewer connection from our victim's computer to their own computer and then switched, sides. That was a very particular way of taking control over somebody's systems. And they actually cleaned up some of the infections we had on our VM, as you saw. The last thing they did was ask which language we understand properly, English or Dutch. So it's not that they actually speak Dutch, but what they do is they open a Google Translator screen and start typing in English, and then we have the Dutch translation, beside it. I will show you a little bit of that later. So this is more or less always the first step. Make sure they have control over your computer, can control your mouse and keyboard, and then the next step, problems. So you are going to have all kinds of problems with your computer. The time they took to show us all these problems is at least 45 minutes. So I only show some of the highlights of the problems we had on our computer. The first problem we had is we had 12 hackers in our computer. 12, yeah. Let's take a look.
So right now, what we will do, sir, we will simply find out, okay, why these infections are coming in your computer, okay, and why it is not blocked by your antivirus, okay? So what we are going to do now, we're going to simply do the short scan in this window black page. Yes. And once the scanning will be finished.
Maybe it's a little bit hard to read, but they are actually typing in the tree command over here.
It will show you the result at the very, very last line. Why these things are happening in your computer and why these things are happening, okay? Once the scanning will be finished, it will give you the result in the very, very last line. Can you see, sir, the scanning is going on? Yeah, once the scanning will be finished, it will give you the result at the very, very last line. Once the scanning goes stop, it will show you the result, okay? Then it will find out why these things are happening in your computer and why you are facing problems. Once it will be stopped, it will give you the result.
So it now says internal protection expire, hackers 12.
Okay. Okay, 12 hackers and internal protection expire, right? I will explain you, sir, what happened, okay? Sir, internal protection is known as the mother protection of your computer and your internet management system, okay? Once this protection got failed, expired, that is why these errors and the warnings are there. That is why there are hackers present. And that is why, sir, you are facing problem. You understand? Because your mother protection got expired. And that is why there are 12 hackers.
So, well, we've now got these 12 hackers into our system, so that can't be any good, but it actually gets worse. So, I will show you a couple of fragments only because it's so funny. The next thing, besides 12 hackers, it turns out that we also have 3,600 errors in our computer. Let's take a look.
Sir, first of all, you know that generally Microsoft Windows don't call the people. Generally, Microsoft Windows does not call the customer. But whenever Microsoft is giving this call to you, there must be a big reason regarding this call. The reason we are calling you because regarding this problem of your computer, nobody will able to help you from Netherlands. Nobody means no local technician, no computer engineer, no computer expert, no computer specialist. Only we can able to help you to solve the problem of your computer because we are the service provider of your computer and we are a Microsoft certified technician. The error and warning which we are receiving from your computer indicating that right now your computer is in danger, at very high risk. If you don't solve the problem of your computer, so without your prime knowledge, your computer is able to crash down. So regarding this problem only, we can able to help you. That is the reason we are calling you from Microsoft to solve and to fix the problem of your computer. You understood?
You all see that this is just the Windows Event Viewer, and that every PC has these errors and warnings in them. But do you notice how they get more aggressive in their tone? So they say, okay, nobody's able to help you besides us, and it's really all about scare tactics towards the victims, right? So, this is a pattern we see in every call. So they show things in the computer that are perfectly normal, you would see on every computer, and then make up a story, saying that these are all very dangerous infections and hackers and stuff. One last example I'll show you is the license that is expired, and notice how our scammers get even more aggressive in what they are doing, what they are saying.
Under your son's name, I can check the license, Dave. What can you see? Certificate. Now Microsoft. Now this is the license of your computer.
So this is an expired old Microsoft root certificate that it's present in every Windows computer, and the license of course says it's expired.
This certificate has expired or is not yet valid. That is the reason we are receiving this much of complaint from your computer, and that is the reason right now this computer locked with a password. And that's why your all document is taken away and removed from your computer. Once you update the license, once you solve the problem, then you're able to get it back. You understood? Number one. Number one. Number two. Number two, look on your computer screen, verify. Verify is off. Okay. Now, what is the meaning of verify is off? Now, so when you buy this computer, of course, you have the license on your computer. That license is valid for the 1 year. After the 1 year, when the license has got expired, that's your responsibility to update the license.
So, just some other things, certificates that got expired, so the verify command is always off, that are perfectly normal. But did you also notice they set up a startup key, a startup password for the account database? So they set up this password. Well, they didn't tell us what the password was. So if you now try to reboot our computer, it will ask for the password of the database startup key. And we won't have it, so we can't reboot our computer anymore. And what they also did is delete all documents that were in my home directory. Well, they actually deleted them, so not throw them in the trash bin, but actually shift delete, deleted all my files. Well, probably to make sure that I was going to fall for the next step and the last step in the process, the payment. So they've shown us all these problems we have in our computer, and of course they also have the solution. So we need to renew our license, or we need to renew the mother protection of our computer, or something similar. Some are cheaper than others. This is an example that offered us a lifetime Microsoft license for €499. This was actually a pretty expensive one. The Google Translator call center offered a license for a 5-year license for only €20. Eventually that turned out that was not really the case, because they told us when we are going to do the payment, they told us Microsoft is a very large company and we can't accept small payments. So what you need to do, you need to send us €200. And then we will send you €180 back. It's probably not going to happen. So we agreed in making this payment. They offer different payment options. So the first payment option they would like you to do is just use your online banking. Option number two is, if you don't have online banking, use your credit card. And option number three is to use some kind of money transfer service. We agreed, okay, we can use our online banking account to send you the payment. So we showed them our Max Bank banking website. And this is all while these scammers are still connected to your system, right? So they still can't see everything you're doing. And I suspect if you would do this in a real banking environment, they will try to type in an extra zero after the amount, because they can read and can change everything what you're doing on the screen. So in this payment process, we're going to ask for all kinds of details, address details, email address, phone numbers for the receiver. But actually, they did not really go for this. It turned out they had a very good idea of the various banks that were active in the Netherlands. So they asked, okay, these Max Bank, don't you have ING or Rabobank? So they really knew what the normal banks are in the Netherlands. So, and we actually got this far with three different call centers. And they all got a bit, suspicious when we showed them the Max Bank website. And they want to switch to a different payment method. They came up with different explanations. So one of them said, okay, you have this hidden infections inside your computer, so well, using online banking is not safe now, so we should use a different payment method. So, well, they're probably actually right on that it would not be safe to make a payment at that moment. So they wanted us to switch to a different payment method. So they offered us to use credit cards. So we said, okay, we don't have a credit card. And then, as an alternative, they referred us to, well, Western Union or MoneyGram. They did help us in finding a nearby store. So that's very customer friendly. But well, we realized, okay, this isn't going to bring us any further. We thought, okay, using our Max Bank would be enough to get all the details of these scammers we needed. Well, didn't succeed in that one. Then they want to send us to MoneyGram, so, well, no chance of finding out where these people actually are. And then we thought back and looked, okay, in the beginning, we had this weird way of the connection being set up. So first, we installed Supremo, then they installed TeamViewer themselves, then they made this connection and switched directions with, well, the partner, which was us, as a victim. Can't we just, well, click the same button and switch connections back and, well, take control over their system? So that's what we tried, and that, well, resulted in some weird remote control tool inception. Well, and a pretty funny battle over their mouse and keyboard controls. Well, let's take a look. So, thanks. This, of course, was, well, played much faster as it, well, went in real time. So, actually, this took about, I guess, almost 10 minutes. So, and they didn't realize what was going on. Well, you heard the speeded up noises in the recording, and they were actually shouting, okay, sir, please leave your mouse and keyboard alone. They just didn't realize what was going on. And, well, eventually, after about 10 minutes, they, well, closed their TeamViewer, and, well, we couldn't make a connection anymore. It was very frustrating because, well, every time, well, after about 10 or 15 seconds, they closed the connection and we reconnected. What we actually wanted to do is make a connection from their browser window to our Max Bank website to make sure we at least, well, got their IP address and, well, start moving on from there. But after this, we took a look at our web server logs, and it actually turned out that we already had their IP address in our web server logs. So we were successful at least one time in this mouse and keyboard battle. And it turned out that this was an IP address in India, so who guessed? And it was an IP address from Tata, which is a large ISP in India. So did it, the Hoosier records didn't help us, well, that much. But then we said, okay, let's try a little port scan and see what we can find on that IP address. And on port 443 of this IP address, we found this interface. It's, well, Cyber Roam. We didn't heard of it before. Turned out that Cyber Roam is a firewall system. So what would be the first thing if you see a login screen, username and password for a firewall? What would you try? Username admin, password admin, right? Okay. So, a funny side note here is that there are some errors on the top of the screen, and that errors are actually saying that their license of the firewall got expired. I thought that was really funny. Yeah. That privilege escalated quickly. We continued our port scan, and we also found, well, some other port open, and there we found this web interface. This is a system, it's called Go Autodial. So we looked it up, and it turned out to be a Linux distribution featuring all the software you need to run a call center. So it has an asterisk VoIP server in it, a CRM system, and it also has some software in it that you can provide a large list of phone numbers, and it starts automatically dialing all those phone numbers, connecting them to, well, a call center employee that's on standby. So hence the name Go Autodial. And there's a admin login over there. Well, guess which password we tried. Oh, there we are, yeah. So this is a status page. This is a page showing us all the different agents that are logged in, or the accounts of all agents. So there are 40 agents active in this call center. There's also a screen of the different campaigns that are running. And there's actually this screen that shows us in real time what's happening in the call center. So in this case, you can see there are 76 calls being placed, 77, 8 agents are logged in, 4 agents are in a call, 4 agents are waiting. So this actually gave us real time statistics of what's happening in this call center. So that was, of course, well, very interesting to get an idea of how large this call center was and how many victims this call center was creating. It also had a statistics option in it, so we could pull out some of the statistics. This is one of the screens. So it showed that there were in total over 5 million calls placed. And very interesting is the, at the bottom you can see that 1,500 calls have been marked as a sale that has been made. So, 1,500 potential victims. So that's reasonable regarding the 5 million calls they've made, and a lot of the calls got stuck at the answering machine or weren't even answered. We were surprised a little bit ourselves that it would be that easy to get this information. Now it was, open source intelligence time. Let's Google some of the things we've seen. This is a screenshot of the firewall web interface, and we see that the expired license of the firewall is registered to an email address. It's cool729@gmail.com. So we just started Googling for that IP address, and well, quite a lot of hits. The first one on top has some company information about a company called Creador Infotech Private Limited. Registered in Kolkata, India. Contact details, there's our Gmail email address. And here's the actual address of the call center, Ripon Street 94A in Kolkata. We also found the actual website of the company itself, creadorinfotech.com. And yeah, it's actually a call center, so services, they rent office space. They have a call center. The call center has a server and Go auto dialer. Yeah, we already know that, of course. There's another advertisement we've seen. So that is for an advertisement for the same call center. Different contact details here at the top. A fully furnished call center is available for lease at Ripon Street. This call center features a server and Go auto dialer. We already knew that. And it also features a Cyber Roam firewall. So yeah, that's something we also saw already. This is pretty interesting. So these are the charges. So the charges you have to pay if you want to rent a seat at this call center. So a seat for the UK shift is 3,500 rupees a month. So it's about 40 or 50 euros a month you have to pay to rent a seat in this call center. And well, the address is in well, on the bottom of this page again. So 40 or 50 euros a month to rent a call center. Then, of course, you also have to pay the employees a little bit. But you can imagine that only if you succeed a couple of times a month in victims paying like $200, it already is a lucrative business. Well, we now know the address of our call center in Kolkata, Ripon Street. So we worked together with this journalist that really were eager to find out where these call centers are actually located. So it's time to go to India. So we didn't go to India ourselves, but we let our people from Opgelicht fly to India. And well, they made a nice little documentary about this. I will show you a little bit of what they filmed over there. Let's take a watch.
Het is een ware plaag en alleen in Nederland is van deze vorm van oplichting al meer dan 1000 keer aangifte gedaan. Hier gaat het om. Ze zeggen dat ze bellen namens Microsoft en dat ze je willen helpen met een computerprobleem. Maar niets is minder waar. Vorige week lieten we zien hoe het digitale spoor leidt naar een callcenter in India. En daar houdt ons onderzoek natuurlijk nog niet op. Tijd voor ons om naar India af te reizen en op zoek te gaan naar de eigenaar van het callcenter, Shahbaz Hussain. We vinden op internet een advertentie van Shahbaz. Hij verkoopt t-shirts en we kunnen duidelijk zien dat de foto's gemaakt zijn in zijn callcenter. Hetzelfde callcenter als waar de Microsoft scam vandaan komt. Er is dus geen twijfel meer mogelijk. We vinden ook zijn privé-e-mailadres. Wanneer we daarop zoeken, stuiten we op een forum waar Shahbaz trots vertelt dat hij een Harley Davidson heeft gekocht. Een peperdure motor.
Main problem is the cases are not reported to us. I mean, something has happened to someone in Europe or USA or say Australia, but they are not reported to us. Maybe they might be reporting there to the local police there, but the issue doesn't come to us. If it comes to us, then we can start an inquiry into it.
We hebben inmiddels ook contact met de buitenlandse collega's via de Nederlandse Liaison voor dat gebied. Maar het gaat wat moeizaam, omdat ja, de samenwerking blijft altijd lastig, zeker over zo'n grote afstand.
The distance doesn't matter. Every information is available on internet. You want to know about this, our local police, Bidhan Nagar police, We are on social media also. You can search internet for our information also. At least you can send an email to us. These things are happening. Inquiry can be started. We may be aware of these things.
In de drukke stadsjungle van Calcutta gaan we op zoek naar het callcenter, begeleid door een lokaal contactpersoon.
Hey, Chotu, is er een callcenter? Nee, uncle, is er een callcenter?
We vinden het gebouw en dan blijkt dat het callcenter zich op de eerste verdieping bevindt. Zonder inkijk en met tralies voor de ramen. Het lijkt een onneembare veste.
I think this is the entrance to the building where the call center is run from. But I see three people coming, so I'm not going in right now.
Het is dus onmogelijk om ongezien het call center binnen te komen. We kiezen een andere aanpak. We laten onze contactpersoon reageren op een van de advertenties van Shabazz Hussain.
Hallo?
Hallo, Shabazz.
Ha?
Ha, Nick bol raha
hai.
Ha, bhai bolo. Bhai, wo XL size chahiye superhero design. Tere ko message kiya, bola nahi.
Acha, wo thoda sa video mein dekh leta hu. Fangwan ka design.
Shabazz blijkt uit de wijk Park Circus te komen. Ons zegt dat niks, maar ons contact kent de wijk wel degelijk.
The advertisement said location was said Park Circus.
Park Circus, ja.
Yeah. What's that kind of neighborhood?
It's a very Muslim-dominated neighborhood. A lot of mosques and all that. So whenever there's any trouble in Calcutta, communal trouble between religious groups, that is a sensitive area. And the police is also a little scared of getting in there.
Could it be dangerous for us to go to him? And
it might be. It might be. The thing is, if you enter Park Circus and you don't know how to get out of there, without rubbing them the wrong way, then it could get pretty hot under the collar for you.
Okay.
Shabazz heeft gehapt. Hij wil afspreken om ons t-shirts te verkopen.
Yeah, so where we are at is like we are trying to pick up t-shirts from him. We have agree a price and pay him and pick it up. We are probably going to pick it up from his office,
yep.
Which might or might not be the call center.
He doesn't have a shop, so it's probably his office. It's
or home, or friend's home, or whatever.
The best occasion is the
is the office.
Call center,
yeah.
Maar dan opeens verandert Shabazz de afspraak. Hij wil ons contactpersoon in een openbare gelegenheid ontmoeten en niet in zijn callcenter. We verstoppen onze camera's om geen onnodig risico te lopen. En dat blijkt een slimme zet, want Shabazz komt naar de afgesproken plek, maar is niet alleen. Hij heeft twee potige vrienden bij zich. We besluiten hem toch aan te spreken.
Jongens, met Shabazz, right?
Ja, ja.
Hi, Jorg. How's the Microsoft business these days?
Sorry?
How's the Microsoft business?
What Microsoft?
The call center business, you know? You know. Well, that's strange. You know this?
No.
Because your email address is in the software of this call center. And I'm from Holland. I've spoken to a lot of people who lost a lot of money after they called by the Microsoft scam.
But I have no idea about all this.
You know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea about
it. Of course you do. How does it feel?
I don't understand. I don't understand.
Okay, well, it's your email address in the software of a call center. It's your telephone number connected to the call center. So how can you not have an idea?
But my email...
Yeah, do you want me to show it? Because your email is, coolanusvessel@gmail.com, right?
That's my email, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's the administrator's address in the software of the call center. So that's coincidence, right, then? Strange coincidence. And your telephone number is the call center's telephone number?
What call center's telephone number?
Creator, you know that? You probably know it.
Anyways, what about it?
Well, I've spoken to quite a lot of people in Holland who have lost a lot of money. And what does it do to you?
I don't know.
You don't know? How can you not know? All your personal details are connected to the call center. We trace the IP address. You have nothing to say.
Anyways, what about it now?
What about it now? Well, how do you feel? Why do you do this? How does you make money with this? A lot of money?
Not a lot of money.
Well, I've spoken to people who lost 2,000 euros. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to me. It is to you too, right?
See, I'll tell you. We used to do it, but now I've stopped. I've been doing my garments business and I've stopped it. I have no idea. If you want, you can talk to other people, but I don't do it now. It was a long time back, like 5-6 months now. I've started my business and I've left it. Maybe you can check up again, but now you won't find anything.
Well, 5 months ago?
Yeah, I told you 4-5 months ago. Yeah.
This report's for this 2 months ago.
Not possible. That's not possible.
Oh, not possible. Well, I'll show you. Here, this is... Might look familiar, right? This is your Dutch friends.
Dutch friends? I have no friends.
No, not friends anymore, no, because you scammed them. You know, right? This is your TeamViewer trick.
Not my website.
Not your website. Okay, let's see.
I told you, I've already left it.
You already left it?
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's see. Because I think in last October, 2 months ago, this was actual, so... It's easy to get.
I told you.
Okay, you stopped. So all the money you've earned with it, how does that feel?
Don't feel anything.
Don't feel anything. Now you can buy a Harley Davidson and it feels good. Oh. With stolen money.
I don't have a Harley Davidson.
And now it's a t-shirt business.
It's all done.
What do you tell your parents and your children?
Yeah,
how you earned your money?
Yeah, I told you, I've closed it.
That's all?
That's all.
So what should I tell the Dutch people who have lost all the money?
See, I'll tell you, bro. I've told you, I've left it. It's been a long time. I will see. That's why I'm free. I'm here. I feel bad, but now it's done. 4-5 months now it's done. To be frank, what we used to do, we used to just take some and we used to cut it off. We are not like empty bank accounts and those stuff. No.
Never
used to do that.
Please tell those people,
I'm really sorry from the bottom of my heart, but I stopped it now. You can trust me on that.
Yeah. Okay.
Shabazz geeft dus toe dat hij zich schuldig heeft gemaakt aan deze Microsoft-scam. We hebben uiteraard ons dossier en de opnames van deze bekentenis ingeleverd bij de Indiase politie.
Zo. That was the actual trip to India. So, well, Shabazz admitted that he ran this call center and we wrote a formal report of our investigation and handed it over to the Dutch police as well. And the Dutch police actually compared it, our report, with 1,500 complaints they received. Also, they wrote some letters to potential victims based on our data. But, well, as far as we know, that didn't lead to any prosecution of the people behind this. Also, a report went to the India police. Don't think they did much about it. The call center website, it's still online today. But they did change their firewall settings. So you won't find any open ports anymore. Well, lessons learned. Well, this is the only proper PowerPoint slide I have with bullets and stuff. Yeah, well, first of all, we live in a world where we see, well, cyber attacks becoming more and more complicated, but this really shows that's not always the case. So these criminals, they basically only use social engineering, well, to get their money. And there isn't really a technical defense mechanism against this. So raising awareness is probably the only defense. We think we made a good start by reaching around 1.5 million people with together with the journalist from Opgelicht, and at least raise some awareness on how these call centers operate, and well, maybe help people recognize when they are being scammed. But obviously there's still a lot of work to do, as the numbers of victims from these type of scams are still increasing. Also, well, tracking down these call centers, it is feasible. We've shown that in this proof of concept. But it's difficult for law enforcement to take action. I guess cases are being underreported. People feel ashamed that they became victims of these type of scams. And, well, maybe it's like 200 euros. You probably won't even take the effort to go to the police. And, well, international cooperation is still difficult. So we've seen in the report the India policemen say, okay, we don't know about these scams. And then the Dutch policemen, while complaining about cooperation with India, so always difficult. So there's also a lot of work to do. That's all, folks. That's all I have for you. Thanks.
So, thank you very much. This was not only a very interesting, but also very entertaining talk for everybody here, I think. We have some minutes left for questions. So if anybody is interested in a question, we have mics here in the front and in the back. Just line up.
Yeah, I have a question about the Dutch police.
A little louder, please.
Louder? Oh, I have a question about the Dutch police. They published an article and contacted some of your victims in your data. At the beginning of this year, I also hacked a call center from India and handed over the data to the Dutch police. But, I had a virtual machine on my computer. I called them. They connected to my virtual machine. I had a keylogger installed on it. He logs into his Mergent account. I had his username and password. I log into their system, download the data from it, export it in CSV, and give that to the Dutch police. But they just said, because it's illegal, you hacked them, we can't use the data you have given to us. Why did the police agree and use your data?
So, yeah, it's always, it's a balance we have to make. So, well, to get somewhere and catch those criminals, sometimes we need to push the boundaries a little bit. I think we didn't really cross the line, by only logging into an interface with a default username and password. And we actually got a list of the victims of this scam. So, in your case, you became victim yourself, right?
Yeah.
But we had an actual list of victims that were being marked as that a sale had been made. So,
I also have a full list of transactions. I handed over a full list of transactions to the police.
Yeah. So, not sure. So that's something you have to ask to the Dutch police. But.
Okay.
Not really a question I can answer.
Right.
For everybody, please stay quiet. We just can do one more question, but please be quiet so everybody can understand it.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Beautiful piece of work. Love the presentation, great. Now, this is obviously not very hard. I mean, the skills that you showed, it's super entertaining, mm-hmm. but like most people here could do that if they had like, the time and the effort.
Sure.
And prosecution is also not very hard because you know, it's clearly illegal, like you have the data, but there's just no willingness to pick this up. Not mm-hmm. from the Indian police, obviously, no. because mm-hmm. they don't really care if like some of their poor people scam a bunch of rich people in the West, right?
Maybe.
Do you think it has a priority with the Dutch police? Because there's all sorts of legal aid treaties between Holland and India, and they could start a prosecution here and call in het rechtshulpverdrag, as we would call it
yeah,
in Dutch.
Sure. So I think they handled our case very professional. So they really went a long way to actually track down some of the victims. But well, based on the list we provided, they well couldn't find any complaints. And they even went a step further and, well, sent out some letters, I think a couple of hundreds, to, well, various
right, to file,
potential
to file charges, basically.
Hmm?
To file charges, an aangifte doen.
No. So, so they sent out letters to potential victims and asked those victims, okay, have you been a victim of this scam? And, well, if that's the case, well, please report it to us. But as far as I know, they didn't really get any response
so
to that as well.
Then we should have a talk with them, because in Holland it is not obligatory to file a complaint to start a criminal prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
If the Openbaar Ministerie finds evidence of a crime, they can start an investigation themselves
sure.
without charges. But anyway, that's too technical.
Yeah.
But thank you very much. Beautiful piece of work. Right. Lovely talk.
Thanks.
Okay. Unfortunately, we don't have time for any more questions. The next talk is already starting in 10 minutes,
sure.
but I guess perhaps Bart is available for further discussion.
Sure.
So everybody who still has a question can just follow him perhaps outside to the bar or somewhere.
Yeah.
So please, everybody, one last big round of applause for this amazing talk.